Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Are back with a little bit more Weird Al coverage this week, talking about the second track on Alapalooza, Young, Dumb, and Ugly. Before we get into how Al felt about this song, I want to know how you've always felt about this song. Is this one that you liked? Was this one that you skipped? Was this one that you've kind of forget exists sometimes?
I have to say, this is another, and I said this last week about Jurassic Park, because this is interesting to me. Going into this episode, I remembered this song, like, being fine. And I'm found myself enjoying it more than I thought I did on this. Because in my mind, this is, like, a not particularly great Al original. And in a little bit of research I did, it seems to be the consensus of a lot
of
people.
I have the quote here from Al himself, actually talking to Nathan Rubin for the AV Club. And he asked him about Young, Dumb, and Ugly, and this is the quote from Al. He said, "That was supposed to be my big parody of heavy metal music in general, and AC/DC specifically. I was a bit leery on doing it, because anytime you go into that territory, I'm always wondering if I'm going to step on Spinal Tap's toes, because that's their thing, and they did it perfectly, and you don't want to mess with that. But I thought that this was specifically AC/DC enough that it seemed to work for the gag. Listening to it now is a little difficult because I recorded it in a register that was really too high for my singing voice, but my manager thought it was funny when I kept cracking my voice trying to reach those high notes, which for some people, I guess it would be, but it doesn't get a lot of repeated listening from me."
Interesting.
I'm willing to bet that this may be one of the ones that if you check Setlist FM has like never been played live, or maybe was very briefly played live to promote Alapalooza and has never popped back into the set since.
I'm checking right now. So he definitely did this on the Vanity Tour.
Oh.
For sure. I saw him do this on the Vanity Tour.
Wow. Okay.
Now, whether or not he did more, or like whether he played it back in the day, let's find out right now. It looks to me like this might have started with the first Vanity Tour. Yep. First ever performance. 2018, the Wilbur Theater in Boston. So he, yeah, no, at the time of the record release, this was not a priority for Al and the band. I don't mind him singing it in that high register. I can actually understand Al's cringe at it, but I feel like he's channeling, I feel like it works for the parody. I feel like that's a very popular thing that singers did at this time.
I also think, like, let's be honest, I love AC/DC as much as any kid who liked rock and roll music at some point in their life.
Sure.
But, like, none of the vocalists of AC/DC go down in history for how incredible their singing voice was. Like, I think it's specific, right?
That's what it is. Yeah. It's unique enough to a certain thing that it works. I don't know. I feel like in the world of his parody, it doesn't have to be the most pleasant thing in the world to get the job done for what he was. I'm reminded of She Drives Like Crazy, which is another, I mean, that by his own admission was also him struggling to match a vocal style that he didn't fully understand.
Yeah.
And maybe arguably this is another version of that.
I never particularly cared for this song.
Mm-hmm.
Even when this was the only Owl CD I had, it was definitely one of the tracks I didn't really focus on. I thought that it was a little too long. I didn't think it was particularly funny. You know, last week we talked about like long instrumental breaks. This also has a pretty lengthy guitar solo in the middle of it that like adds a good 30-40 seconds to the overall runtime.
It is kind of that, a long solo. Yeah.
That being said, I will say that sitting down and listening to the song while reading the lyrics, there is a point, I would say, halfway through the song where I start to enjoy it. Because it starts off, the first verse, he says, "We're dangerous dudes, we got bad attitudes, most of our brain cells are gone. We were born to be bad, you better not make us mad, or we might just toilet paper your lawn." Right there, totally understanding as a young teenager's threat. Mm-hmm. Like, hey man, don't mess with me, I'll toilet paper your lawn. "We got a reputation around these parts, we only leave a 10% tip.
Great line.
Sometimes we don't return our shopping carts. Stay away and don't give us no lip." Okay, so now it's a little bit tamer.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it kind of falls into this category where from here on out, like, it gets increasingly less threatening with how bad these dudes are.
Isn't it funny? It's the opposite. We've talked so many times about Al does the songs where he just ratchets it up. And the stakes get higher with every line. And this, he is toning it down. They're getting more reasonable as the song goes along, which I love so much. It's the antithesis of, you know, we talked about it just, a few weeks ago for When I Was Your Age, because I really do think, to me, that's the closest comparison to this song that I have. It feels very, very similar. I feel like they hit a similar musical mark too, which is interesting. Because I don't hear, when I listen to When I Was Your Age, I don't think about AC/DC at all. But on this song, which is clearly AC/DC, they feel like they occupy a similar space. Don't you feel that musically?
Yeah, I think musically, yes. I'm also going to say something that maybe I'm the incorrect one here.
Mm.
There are a lot of times where a song is a style parody for Al, and it is like 100%. Yep. That is that artist. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Devo is that artist when he does Dare to Be Stupid. They Might Be Giants is that artist.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm using examples of bands that have a very defined sound, but I think AC/DC has a very defined sound. I think this song sometimes feels like AC/DC and other times just feels like generic radio rock. Like, it doesn't feel musically as completely all in.
I have to
on
say,
that
I
AC/DC
agree with you.
Sound.
I agree with you. Like, I saw online that it was like accredited as an AC/DC style parody, and until I found the quote from Al straight acknowledging that that is true, I wouldn't have believed it completely.
Nope. Because I literally just saw this was an Al original rock song.
If anything,
with no specific band in mind.
Yeah. If anything, the thing that's different about this is it feels like it doesn't have enough energy to be an AC/DC song. AC/DC songs have such like forward momentum and such like, even when they're slow, it still feels very like pushed and very like excited. And this song is laid back and like chill.
I also feel like AC/DC has a very like, there's a very distinct guitar sound with AC/DC that I don't think Jim West hits out of the park on this.
I agree. I actually totally agree. I think that I think it actually is better suited. It doesn't change the song, but I actually think calling it a parody of like 80s hair metal is
makes more sense.
Fitting. I hear in certain spots in this song, I actually hear more of like Guns N' Roses Or even like the cheesier stuff, like Cinderella, or like the,
I was literally about to say like Cinderella,
yeah,
or Poison.
Like I hear like, a lot of that vocally. I can get the AC/DC thing for sure, and the, some of it's there. But and you know maybe we're just at the end of the day we're talking about bands that AC/DC inspired, because AC/DC have been doing it for longer than most of those acts.
But the point is, usually when Al is going for a band that has a very definitive sound, if you've never heard an AC/DC song before, like if it's a new AC/DC song, before even the vocals come in, you usually are like, ooh, this has to be AC/DC.
I agree. If we're looking at this as an AC/DC style parody specifically, it's a miss. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. I think now, it's more musically interesting to go back, like comparing it to when I was your age.
Yes.
It's more fun than that. I like it more than that song.
Well, let's move on with these lyrics, because I think that this is just a fun one to analyze the lyrics
I agree.
With you know, the de-escalation throughout. We wear black leather in the hottest weather. You can't imagine the smell. We got 3 days stubble. Our name spells trouble. T-R-U-B-E-L. I don't know why the lyrics are spelled out like that. It's the letter T and then the words R-U-B-E-L.
Oh, that's weird. On my side, I see just the letters individually with like hyphens between them. I can't tell you guys how long it took me to notice that joke. I'm embarrassed to say that I heard this song so many times before I realized we got 3 days
trouble.
Our name spells trouble. T-R-U-B-E-L. Because he kind of does it fast. Like it's he just sort of breezes through it there. But good fun.
Raising hell, bending rules just a little. We're only living for our thrills. I love this next line. We squeeze our toothpaste tubes from the middle and we wait until the last minute to pay our telephone bills. The squeeze our toothpaste tubes from the middle got an actual laugh out of me.
I mean, both of those lines, squeezing our toothpaste tubes from the middle and wait until the last minute. They're not even late on their bills.
Yeah,
I love the idea that like that's them being badass, is that they only pay their bills when they're absolutely due.
Matt, I don't
and not
know
early.
I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like I can speak for you with this. If they're being badasses by still paying their bills at the last minute, I am a full-blown rebel, because I am usually the second or third warning payment guy.
Yeah,
you
can obviously identify with this song. Like you are an equally badass dude with a bad attitude.
Bad attitude. All right, and then the last verse we get. We're wild, reckless men, and we're on a rampage again. We drive with just one hand on the wheel. Danger's in our soul. We're out of control, swimming right after a big, heavy meal. We're there whenever trouble's starting. We're rebels without a clue. We drink milk right from the carton and keep our library books till they're way overdue.
So good. I saw, you know, it's interesting. Someone on Al's forum, I always like to check for questions about songs specifically, because sometimes Al addresses them directly. And someone, Weird Ando of Dallas, Georgia, asks, in Young, Dumb, and Ugly, is the line, "We're rebels without a clue," a play on the line from Tom Petty's song, Into the Great Wide Open, which also has that line. And Al says, actually, I had written Young, Dumb, and Ugly before I ever heard that Tom Petty song. I thought it was kind of bizarre. Tom used the same phrase.
Yeah, that is a little strange.
Isn't that weird? It's a very specific turn of phrase, and actually, if anything, it's more appropriate for Al to use, because it is a comedic spin on a rebel without a cause. But I don't know, who knows who borrowed from who there, but there you have it.
Yeah, it's a real question of who made who there, isn't it?
Very good, Matt. Very, very good. I've always thought to myself, how unfair for people who don't know, listening to this show, Who Made Who is the name of an AC/DC record, and boy, is it unfair that that's not the name of a Who album.
It's not just an AC/DC album, sir. It is the name of an AC/DC soundtrack to the iconic movie Maximum Overdrive.
Of course. I apologize for not acknowledging Maximum Overdrive in that. But I just, every time I see that, an album called Who Made Who, like, how could the Who have not made an album called Who Made Who?
They named their albums everything else.
They loved
Who's Next.
Oh my God. And somehow AC/DC beat them to it. They must have been pissed.
I would be.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
I mean, just back to the lyrics of the song, I don't know, man. I just, again, I think it's funny that people don't, I can appreciate that, like, there's some monotony in the music of this song, but I really do think that that suits the joke of the track. I think this is a funny track. I actually really, really like the comedy of this song. And, I mean, it's, we've seen it done before. I like the de-escalation of, as opposed to the escalation. The drive with just one hand on the wheel is a funny line. The swimming right after a big heavy meal. I don't know, man. I really this works for me more than I thought it would. Again, in my memory, this was like this song was mid, and I guess it still kind of is a little bit. But
it's so there was a point when I thought, oh, is this going to be one of the ones that ranks like at the very bottom for me? Because I really have, like I said, this was the first Owl album I owned, and I listened to it a lot, and I always skip this track.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to end up putting it higher than I anticipated, but it's still going to be more on the lower end of things, ultimately, when it comes time to ranking
this. I have to say another like thing that we follow in Owl is the chorus of this song is generally repeated. This is absolutely an anthem track for Al, where it's not jokes in the chorus. It's just the we're young, dumb, and ugly, and how proud they are to be young, dumb, and ugly.
You know what, though? I feel like this is one of my least favorite usages of the repeated chorus. Because I think that, like, with stuff like Melanie, with stuff like Airline Amy, with stuff like Good Old Days, mm-hmm. right? The repeated chorus is almost, or even You Don't Love Me Anymore.
Sure.
The repeated chorus is this moment of levity for like how truly awful and like fucked up everything is, where mm-hmm. it's like you almost need that repetition because you don't want the escalation by the time you get to the chorus. You want the break.
Sure.
I think that there could have been escalations
perhaps,
in this chorus.
Perhaps, but I like them. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think that it's a funny, this feels
but
like
I agree with you.
Slightly,
it's like a pumping
yeah,
your fist.
It's a pumping
in the air,
your fist like anthem for these kids. I just when I hear this song and I hear the beat behind it and I hear these lyrics, I'm picturing like 10-year-olds in leather jackets walking down the street, thinking they are the hottest shit in the world. And that to me, I actually like that. That feels like more unique and funny comedic terrain to me than when I was your age, which again I'm going to keep comparing it to. Which is the old man, you know, shaking his fist at the kids. I like this side of the coin more than the other one.
So here's where the problem is for me, because we're getting to that ranking point.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly agree with you. I still think I like the song When I Was Your Age more.
Interesting. Okay.
Even though I think that this is a funnier take on a similar theme.
Yeah.
But I am putting them pretty close together. I'm looking at putting this right below a song that you adore. It's right in between two songs that you love that are low on my list. I'm putting it between I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead and Airline Amy.
That is two songs I love that you have.
This
low.
Is like, there's this weird little pocket now of three songs that you're a fan of that I do not have the same love for.
I have to say, I really don't think this is, I don't think this is top tier. What I'm talking about here is the fact that it plays better than I remember it.
No, and I agree. I literally thought this was going to be like my third lowest song.
Yeah.
When I was getting ready to do this episode, I thought it was going to be like Buckingham Blues, Got a Boogie, Young, Dumb, and Ugly. So like the fact that I actually, because I was like, you know what? I do like this more than Buy Me a Condo. I do like this more than That Boy Could Dance. I like it more than Cable TV. I like it more than One of Those Days. Like it kept like escalating. And then it basically hit a point where I was like, do I like this more than I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead? And I landed on no. but then I was like, well, let's see what's above it. And I don't like this as much as Good Enough For Now. I don't like this as much as Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White. I definitely don't like it as much as Mr. Frump. Like, a lot of the stuff that's above it, it feels fitting. But again, I think at this point, unless you're in, like, the bottom three or four with the original songs from Al, it's like you're just a solid 3 to 3.5 stars out of 5-star song. Like, his originals are usually, I think he has a higher miss average on his parodies than he has on his originals.
That's true. Although, funny enough, this is an album that is generally known for having...
being original heavy, and it's not
having
great.
Being original heavy and lackluster on the originals.
Yeah.
So, to start with this one, this is better than I remember it. I agree, it's not... this is in the middle for Al, and I'm actually going to put it in the bottom section of the middle as well. But, it's funny, I'm going to... based on what you just said, and I'm actually putting it closer to when I was your age than I thought. But I'm going to put it, you know what? I'm going to put it just above When I Was Your Age.
I was going to say, you can't put this above Mr. Frump.
I can't put it above Mr. Frump. And also, funny enough, because you're talking about like, it's above Mr. Frump for me is Buy Me a Condo. And I actually don't like it better than that either, which I also think is a funnier concept for an original
song.
Well,
look, we're equally even though, because you, you know, I've got my little pile of songs that I love that you have low, that you love that I have low ranking.
And I do have Checks in the Mail way down.
Yeah, you put Young, Dumb,
yours,
and Ugly over Checks in the Mail, which is just so sad.
I know. You know what? It's good that we're getting to a place now where we actually do have some real division, because our top and bottom are very similar. But I like the fact that we have pockets of like, well, screw you. That song you love is terrible. I'm putting it at the bottom.
So I've been listening to a podcast called Screen Drafts, where it's a group of people competitively will draft a topic together.
Mm-hmm.
And they have veto cards and stuff. And they'll do like a super draft, mm-hmm, where they're drafting like every film by Martin Scorsese. And they always talk about how when you look at the stats, the veto cards don't often come out for what's at the bottom of the list, and they don't often come out for what's in the top of the list.
It's the middle
stuff. It's that middle stuff where people get very defensive.
I get it.
On like what constitutes the difference between like a 3-star movie and a 3.5-star movie.
I totally
get
it.
And I think
that's
where we're coming to with a lot of this Al stuff.
Yeah,
is like,
it's hard. It's really hard to rank the middle things because, again, it's like I like it. I do like it, but I can't like it more than so many other things. Like it gets really clunked. It's just going to get harder and harder as we go here.
Not to play our hands early here, but like while discussing Young, Dumb, and Ugly and how it like kind of went above our expectations when we went back into it,
mm-hmm,
it, you know, the next original we're covering is Frank's 2000 inch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it draws that line of like there's fine Al originals, there's very good Al originals, and then there's the undeniable home run.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's like when you get to a song like Frank's 2000 inch TV, it's just like at that point, it's just like, all right, where in the top 10 does it end up? Because it's such a incredibly well-crafted parody of a band that he clearly has a lot of love for, and is, to bring it back to this, you listen to that song and you're like, this is R.E.M.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is a... And again, actually, I have to say, for the most part, if I'm looking at the style parodies on this record, we're also going to get, like, Traffic Jam is...
Yeah.
Prince, like, there's no way it's not Prince. Like,
well, I mean, Traffic Jam might be the closest Al has ever done to just doing a parody and, for legal purposes, not calling it a parody.
At least if someone's super notable, right? Because because we talked about it with, like...
That is Let's Go Crazy. Like,
oh, it's extremely close to Let's Go Crazy. I mean, we talked about it through the lens of, like, Tony OK, like him getting very, very close on I Was Only Kidding, but that's not... someone so famous that's not recognizable to the average listener in the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, for sure. Before we wrap up, I have one other note here, and it's only like tangentially related to this song, but I found it on the Ask Al, and this is as good a time as any to bring it up, and it's just a general Al point that I thought was really great. Somebody asked him specifically about this song. You have stated before you never learned how to play guitar. Considering that you get sole writing credit on original tunes, how do you work out the parts for heavily guitar-based originals like Young, Dumb, and Ugly? Do you figure out the parts yourself and then have Jim transpose them to guitar, or do you just lay out the basic idea of the song? And Al responds, when I submit my demos to the band, everything is played on a keyboard. The chorus and melody lines and main riffs are all there, but not being a guitar player myself, I wouldn't dream of writing out solos, since Jim could come up with something much better than anything I could suggest. I'll work with him in the studio until his solo has just the right feel, or I may have him do several solos and then piece together the best bits later. In short, I try to give the guys in the band as much musical leeway as possible, but it's still not really enough to warrant giving them their own writing credit. Sorry, guys.
Okay, fair.
I think that makes a lot of sense. We talked before on this show, this was like a long time ago, but about the writing and recording process with Al and what it's like working with him and how much leeway he actually does give his bandmates. And that solidifies something I suspected, which is I think Al's too much of a visionary to be like, just do whatever you want on these songs. Like, I just think everything about him seems to be very specific. Like, I think he probably does make pretty thoroughly tracked demos and gives these guys room to put their own spin on stuff. But I would imagine on a song like this, just because Al doesn't play guitar, he still came in like, this is what I want, you know, out of this track, sure.
I think that's fair. Well, last week we talked about how much Jimmy Webb could not stop praising Al for his parody. Next week, we're going to talk about a song where the band was less than pleased with the final result of the parody. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come, baby, come, baby, baby, come, come. Come, baby, come, baby,
baby, come. Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.